Good evening.
Good evening.
Well, it's nice to be back. As you realize, I went away. And while I was away, my Aunt Catherine made her transition. We kept her for 10 days at home. We got her out of the hospital when I got there. I went directly to the hospital that morning, and we brought her home so that she could make her transition in her own home. And she was pleasant and had her sense of humor right up until the very end. So it was a wonderful experience for me, and I think for her son and her daughter-in-law, because they were with her when she actually made her transition. I was out of the room at the time. So if you're not used to such a thing, get used to it. Because the thing that has happened to our society is that we have taken death out of the home. We have taken death out of our lives. And you cannot do that because death is part of living. And that is what's happened, because we just hand everything over to somebody else and we let them do it. But when you're there with the person and you see that there's nothing to fear and that they realize what is happening to them. And when I was in the room many times, people from the other side, if you want to call it that, come and help those people make their transition. And during the time, Aunt Catherine could feel somebody pulling at her leg. And also, she had conversations. Now, I could not see anybody, but that's beside the point. And the conversation would always be, I don't know what I want, and I don't know what I want to do. So the interpretation was, are you ready? Do you want to come now? What? And they were waiting for her to make up her mind for what she wanted. And once she did that, she went very peacefully. Her spirit left her body. And then we, of course, took care of the body. We helped prepare the body. When I say help prepare the body, that just means taking a damp washcloth and help clean it and so forth, which people did years ago when all that stuff was done in the home. When I was a child, we had a great aunts. They were my great aunts. They had a farm called Linton Hill, and they always buried everyone out of Linton Hill from the parlor that they had there. So this was we didn't do that with Aunt Catherine, of course. But the thing is, don't be afraid of death, because it is part of living, and it is a process, and all you are doing is changing form. You're merely going to go someplace else and continue on this wonderful journey. Now, the things that I learned from Aunt Catherine, many things, but the main thing is, look at your life as a gift, and know that it is an absolute gift that you have been given. Instead of making your life a problem, or instead of making your life stressful and so forth, and thinking that it's drudgery. It's not drudgery. If you know that your life is a gift, it will unfold as a gift. And you will start seeing how wonderful it is to be alive. So that was one of the gifts that I got from Aunt Catherine. Her granddaughter at the service stood up and said, talked a minute about Aunt Catherine. And she said what she learned from Aunt Catherine was, don't wish your life away. And that was one of the things Aunt Catherine always said. I never wish my life away. The neighbor man was so anxious to retire, and he couldn't wait till he retired. And Aunt Catherine said to him, I would never wish my life away like that. So, with her attitude, she was able to live to be 95. She had a wonderful life. And she was independent up until the last 3 weeks of her life. She was completely independent. And even when she was down and out, well, I'll use the word bedridden, because she said to me, I don't think I'll be able to walk again, Dallas, because she had a vascular problem, which I had no idea what it was, but she would lose blood through her legs. They were just because the veins were gone from that age. But she knew that, and she said, I don't think I'm going to be able to walk again. But she never complained about that. She kept her sense of humor the whole time and kept right on going. So that's one thing to do for yourselves. Realize that you can get through this life in a wonderful way. But look at it as a gift, and things will come out. Now, also, Aunt Catherine, I had a little thing we were sending around. If no one's seen it, that's what Aunt Catherine used to look like. But I found this, and I knew this from before in her house, but I had to find it. And it's, have only graveside service, or none at all. Just have someone read, but not today. So I'm going to read, but not today to you. I will grow old, perhaps, but not today. Not while my hopes are young, my spirit strong, my vision clear, because life has a way of smoothing out the wrinkles with a song. I will grow old, perhaps, but not today. Not while my dreams remain a shining shield, my faith a lance, and beneath a sky of gray, my colors wave upon the battlefield. I will grow old, perhaps, but not today. Not while the pen can write upon a page, and memories turn a winter into May. Shall this stout heart be brought to terms by age? I will grow old, perhaps, but not today. And scorning time, who would enlist my tears? I stand convinced there is a better way of occupying all the coming years. I will grow old, perhaps, but not today. In my own style and in my own sweet time, no night so dark there does but fall a ray of light along the narrow trail I climb. Oh, say of me when my last hour slips, like one bright leaf to softly rest among the others, life was honey on the lips of one who died, believing she was young. And that's a wonderful thing, and she believed that she was young, and she stayed young. So that's a wonderful thing also, I think, to realize that and know what's going on. So she kept control of her life even after she made her transition. She wanted this done her way. And I think that's, I don't think anyone could live a better life than that, to know that you can do life your way. So now, before we get into questions and answers, I will also tell you this, and maybe this will help you with some questions. We are very blessed here in California, and we are very blessed to have a class like this that deals with metaphysics. My hometown, where I grew up, and that area, wouldn't know metaphysics if it came up and hit them in the face. They are all completely convinced that circumstances and things on the outside of life is causing everything. Everything is caused by something on the outside of life. And we know here that that is not true. Whatever is happening to you because of the way you were thinking, the way you are perceiving life, the way you are perceiving yourself. And the most wonderful thing is, you can change your mind. And we have that saying in religious science, change your mind, change your life. But you have to change your mind about yourself. You have to change your mind, and you have to start seeing yourself as part of this whole thing. You have to see yourself as part of this thing that we call God. See the divinity within you. That is the changes in your mind. And when you change that, your outside world changes, because it's your beliefs, your viewpoints, your attitudes, and your perceptions that is causing your life. And the most marvelous thing is, we can change those anytime we want to. But we get bogged down with a story that we're telling ourselves. We allow this ego mind to tell us that the story of our life is who we are. And the story of your life is not who you are. Tons of things happen to each and every one of us, but that is not who we are. When you start to think that your story, that your life is who you are, you cannot change it. When you realize that they are just events happening to you, and you can choose how you wish to think about those events. How you wish to think about those events. And that the event is not causing anything. You are merely a witness to that event. But when you start to involve yourself and think that that event is part of you and is making up your life story, then you become the story. And you are not the story. Any more than when you read a book, you are not the book. You're saying, you are not the book. So think of those things. Keep your mind in an atmosphere of positivity where you absolutely know that you are a wonderful human being. You have to realize that. That small town that I come from, those people are wonderful, but they still think that they are worthless, that they don't matter, because they have been told that so many times. So don't let that happen to you. If you started your life out that way and you listened to that, you went to institutions and so forth who taught you that, realize that they were all lies. And that you were told those things so that those people could have control over you. So don't allow people to have that control. The control that you have is in your mind and in your thinking. And you can choose to think anything you want to think. So when your mind tries to tell you that you have to think in a certain way, tell it to shut up and learn to think the way you want to think. And learn to think good thoughts about yourself. And don't sit around waiting for somebody to give you a compliment or to tell you how good you are. You have to know that for yourself. You have to know that for yourself. When I was at home, I was reading the paper, and I love Peanuts. And Charlie Brown was saying to Lucy, if somebody would just tell me they love me, it would make all the difference in the world. And she said, are you sure? He said, yes. If somebody would tell me that they loved me, my life would be different. And she looked at him and she said, I just can't do it. And walked away. And this is what happens in life. We're waiting for somebody else to validate us, to tell us how wonderful we are. Start telling yourself that. Remember, every day, say, wonderful, wonderful, wonderful me. Do that for yourself. And wonderful things will come into your life. Also remember that you matter. It's very, very important to know that you matter. You must learn to matter to yourself. It doesn't matter if you matter to somebody else. You must realize that you have a wonderful mind, that you have this thing that we call spirit within you. Call it divinity. Call it part of God. Call it cosmic energy. Call it anything you wish. But you have within you a power, a wonderful power, that is greater than anything on the outside of life. So go to that power. Go within yourself and find that strength. And know that you are worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that you matter. With that, let's do the matter dance. I matter, I matter, I really, really matter. I matter, I matter, I really, really matter.
Yeah,
know that about yourself. Don't wait for somebody else to do that for you.
They may never
do it. Remember, life is an inside job, and it's also a do-it-yourself project. And your life is a do-it-yourself project. You are the one who has to do it. No one can do it for you. You can come here every week, and I can tell you all these things. But if you don't do something with them, if you don't make them yours and go out and use it, then it's worthless. It doesn't do you any bit of good. And you can see that in the world by all the people who go to brand-named churches every Sunday, and it doesn't change them a bit. They run in there, and they think, oh, good, and they run out and forget everything. And I know that because I just attended a brand name church. And when they got out, they didn't know one thing that was going on, and they immediately started to talk about everyone in the church.
Yeah.
So that was completely down the tubes there. So don't do those things to yourself. You don't need it. Now, are there any questions? Yes, Dan.
It's a question. It's an experience. It's a question, and it's an experience of what I'm experiencing.
Okay.
And what it is that, what do they call that when someone, when someone's like when 911 happened and there were survivors and
yes.
They didn't die in the thing.
Yes.
What do they call that?
Survivor's guilt.
Survivor's guilt. Well, and this is not great. This is a bad example of them, but. But I feel I'm just feeling a lot of freedom, you know, in my life, and so as I experience my day, I see people stuck in their minds or world, whatever
right.
It is, and I don't feel that way, but I feel, you know, but I feel that survivor, that guilt of like. That I have the freedom, and am I being arrogant, or am I, you know, it's like.
No, you're selling.
I'm not used to it either, so right. You know.
You're selling yourself a bill of goods that the world wants to tell you. Why don't you love yourself enough to be able to accept the idea that you have a wonderful life, instead of feeling guilty for somebody else? I never feel guilty about anybody else or about something because it didn't happen to me. And I could go into that, and I will. In the 1980s, all my friends were dropping over dead from AIDS, one right after the other. I never felt guilty that I stayed alive. That has nothing to do with anything. The outside world would like to tell you that, and they're always wanting to do guilt on you. Don't do that to yourself. Say, I am a blessed human being. Thank you for the wonderful life that I am having. Thank you for sparing me whatever you wish, but have a wonderful life and enjoy that. You're taking the enjoyment out of your own life by thinking about something else. Don't take enjoyment out of your life. You deserve that. So you have to go back to you're worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that you matter. And you matter enough to have a great life. You see. People love to do that. The little ego mind does that to us all because it wants to say, aha, now who do you think you are? You see. So you have to say, I know exactly who I am. I'm an individualized expression of God. I'm an emissary of light and love. I am absolutely blessed that I am here doing what I am doing, and I'm going to enjoy my life absolutely fully. And I love living in my body. Okay. Does that help you?
Yeah, absolutely.
But that's a man-made thing out there, and the world always loves to pull that guilt up. If all these people died, and I didn't, now I have to feel guilty. No, I don't feel guilty. You don't feel guilty about that.
Yeah.
That was a contract that they had. We don't know what was going on with them.
Right.
You don't have that. So in love yourself and enjoy your life. Don't take the joy out of your life with guilt.
Right. No. Okay.
Yeah.
Thanks.
You're welcome. Yes.
Things have been going very well for me, but I get to a certain point where I just sort of flatline, I plateau, and I get frustrated in that I get to a point where I want more, but I don't know what I want. And I know that's why I'm not going any further, because you've got to have some direction, and I can't make up my I perceive that I'm having trouble making up my mind.
Okay. First of all, I don't like the word direction. We can have direction in our life. It is not necessary to have direction in your life. We are called human beings. We are here just to be. But the little ego mind tells us we have to be human doings. We have to have a goal. We have to have a direction. We have to have this. We have to have that. You see. When you have to have all these things, what does that do? It makes you needy. You see. Now, if you want a direction and you go to this plateau and so forth and you don't know which way to go, what do you have to say? I have no idea in which direction to go, but I know that you do, so you show me. And you go back to, I'm always divinely guided, I always take the right turn in the road, and God always makes a way where there appears to be no way. And you let that go. But the outside world wants to tell you that you always have to be striving to go to the next plateau, to the next rung on the ladder. And you do not have to do that, you see. We're all driven. We're not here to be driven. We're here to learn to enjoy this life and to savor this life without the guilt, without the shame, without any of that stuff. You see. But the outside world will always tell you, oh, you don't have a goal. You don't have a vision. You don't have a direction. You don't have this. You don't have that. People have been on this plane of action for thousands of years without direction. You see.
So this accounts for my recent disappointment because I chose something. I was lured into something because it was successful. It was money, and then it fell up short. And I had given up something else that I really wanted to do. How do I know I'm making the right decision?
Oh, you have to know that.
Confronted with those two things.
Yes. Well, you have to sit down. First of all, you have to realize this. Any decision you make is the right decision. It's the right decision at the time. You're saying?
Even if it's the wrong one.
Even if it's the wrong one, it's always the right decision.
Okay.
You see. Otherwise, you spin your wheels and you agonize about something. You always have to know any decision I make is the right decision. It's the right decision at this time. You can always change later. What the world likes to tell you and what we do to ourselves is we have what's called hindsight. Well, yes, hindsight is 20/20. If you knew what was going to happen, you wouldn't have made that choice, you see, but you don't. So with the information that you have and all, you have to do that. You have to go back again. I always take the right turn in the road. And you have to realize that that is absolutely true, so that you don't agonize, oh, I made the wrong turn. You never make the wrong turn, you see? You never make the wrong turn. That was a great joke, and Catherine always liked Yogi Berra. If you come to a fork in the road, take it. Question? Yes.
Forgiveness and grudges. How do you get rid of them?
Well, when I said we're here on this plane of action to be, one of the things we're here to be is to learn forgiveness and to learn to love ourselves and to learn to have compassion. But here again, forgiveness always starts with you. Anything that you're doing has to start with you. It's very hard to forgive somebody if you haven't forgiven yourself first. So you have to sit down and forgive that person and forgive yourself and let go of grudges. Grudges will get you nowhere, you see. What good does it do you? You have to sit down and say to yourself, what is the payoff I have here? What is this doing to me? What is this doing internally to me? Do I wish to do this to my own self? You see. And you don't. But the world tells you that you must have grudges and that it's hard to forgive people. It's not hard to forgive people, and it's not hard to forgive yourself. This thing that we call God never holds a grudge and never forgives either. Because God never condemned anybody and never condemns anybody. Therefore, God never has to forgive anybody. And God never sits in judgment upon itself through you. You see. So when you sit down and you have to go again, these are stories that you are making up. Somebody did something to you. This is how we get into everything in this world, this global thinking, because we cannot forgive. And we're taught that it's hard to forgive. Why can't we make forgiving easy? You see, if you give up the story, you can start to forgive. But you can't, and we can't, because as soon as we think, I don't know what you're trying to forgive, but we'll say it's some person. As soon as you start thinking about that person, you start telling the story of what that person did. And as soon as you start telling the story, now you're involved in that story. You have to stop your mind and say, don't tell me that. I don't want to hear that ever again. I have completely forgiven that person. So you love them, you bless them, and you release them. There are many techniques to do that. When you're having trouble forgiving somebody, a very good technique that I use, you write it on toilet paper, what you want. And then when you're finished, you flush that down the jaw. And you go, well, that went off. There it goes with me. Just whew. The other thing you can visualize that this forgiveness, and you're tied to that other person, and there are all kinds of strings coming from that other person, and they're holding you. You visualize all these strings, and you see a pair of scissors down here. You pick up the pair of scissors, and you just keep cutting, and you cut all those things and let that person go. You see? Grudges, regardless. Resentments. All those things. Yes, we can have them. There's nothing wrong. If you want to have one, go ahead and have one. But it's not going to get you anywhere. It's a complete waste of time. You're using your mental power for something that's unnecessary. Start to think about wonderful things, you see. Start to think about your one-man show. Start to think about all the money you're going to have, the fame you're going to have. Think of those things. The reason why people don't get what they want in life, they are thinking about other people and not themselves. that person did this, this happened to me, this did this. Well, your whole day's gone. You, oh, yes, well, I forgot to write down today. I forgot to work on my one-man show today because I was having trouble forgiving. I had this grudge. I had to hold it all day long. See? You're the one who has control over that. And I know I'm not saying that it's easy, but it can be done. You have to let things go. The whole idea in life is learning to let things go. Moment by moment by moment, you let things go, and you'll see a new thing comes, and a new thing comes. But a new thing does not come while you're holding on to the old, you see. It doesn't come. So you forget that, and you bless, love, bless, and release those people, or whatever situation it is. Does this help you at all? You think you're going to be able to do it?
Yes.
Yeah, we have to work on that. And I work on it also. But I'm faster at it now than I ever have been. So, you know, I pat myself on the back. I see those things now. And I'm able to let them go quicker. And we are always going to have that because we have a little part of our mind, this little ego part of our mind, loves to grab onto those things. Why does it love to grab onto those things? Because it wants to cause separation. It wants to cause separation. And we're all connected. We're all connected. You see? So just, when you forgive the other person, you have forgiven yourself. Your mind doesn't know the difference. Your mind doesn't know the difference. You just think your mind knows the difference. Question? You must have a question. No.
I have a question.
Yes, good.
When I think about what I've learned about manifesting, I think of a state of peacefulness, and then I think of a state of excited anticipation, which seem, you know, they're both very positive places to be. One perhaps is vibrationally higher than the other. And like, I find myself a lot of times, you know, more in the place of like, yeah, everything's good, everything's great. And like, and not wanting to go to that place of like, yeah, I need more, I want more, I need to have more. And like, you know, getting excited about it. And I guess my question is there a way to energize yourself more so that you can do more and achieve more, if that's what you choose to do?
Well, yes, there's always a way to energize yourself. First of all, you have to realize that the energy that's running through your body, is coursing through your body, is cosmic energy. And it's coming from this whole big cosmos that we live in. And there's no reason for you to not be able to have that coursing through you at every moment. It's not coursing through you because you're starting to think something. You're starting to say, oh, I need more. Oh, I'm not here. When you learn to stay in the moment, you then find that peace that you're looking for, and you realize at this very moment, I have everything I need. I have everything I need this very moment. When your mind wants to tell you that you need more, you say, I have everything that I need this very moment. And you keep moving that moment. And as you move that moment, you'll see that everything is there for you. What we do is we think that everything is not prepared for us. Remember, I prepare a table before you. And everything is on that table. You have to start seeing that. You have to start knowing that. That everything is there. You start doubting that everything is there. Because you don't see it immediately. You see. And we all do that, by the way. But you have to realize that what you are seeking is seeking you. If you want something, it's there for you. It's there for you. You cannot have a thought, you cannot have a problem without having the answer. You cannot say, I want this, without it being possible to have that. If you have that thought, if you have that desire, if you have that vision, then that has to be made manifest for you. Because this thing that we call God doesn't give you all those desires and so forth and then rip the carpet out from under you. Doesn't do that. You wouldn't have the thought to begin with. You wouldn't have the desire to begin with. We teach unity here. Everything is already done. When you have that thought, whatever you're thinking is already done. It's already done in mind. And all the things are there to make that manifest on this plane of action. Now you have to put the parts together. That's all we're ever doing. It's the same thing. All we're ever doing is changing parts around. You know, everything here is made of the same stuff. We just change the parts and it starts to look different. I change the parts, I look like me. But I'm made of the same stuff as the carpet. But the carpet's put together in different patterns than I am. But it's all the same. All the same. So, everything is already here. You have to know that. And you have to know that you can get what you want. Or that you're going to move on and things are going to happen. You just got a new job, did you not, Nancy?
Yes.
Things moved on for you. That other job wasn't working. You right. weren't doing the thing. That's the way it happens. You have to realize that you're being taken care of. You have to realize that you're being taken care of. And you'll start being taken care of. But try to get the anxiousness out of your life. Don't be anxious for tomorrow. Don't be anxious about your future. Don't be anxious about what you're doing. Know that it's taken care of. And those things will come to you. They will all come to you. And if it's taking a while for it to come to you, go back into yourself and always say, huh, what is in my thinking that is keeping me from having this? Do I think that I'm not worthy? Do I think that I don't deserve? That I'm not lovable enough or that I don't matter? And it'll be one of those four items. And you clear that thinking from your mind. You clear it from your mind. So you have to be very honest with yourself. When I first brought up the idea, most people can say, oh yes, I don't think I'm worthy. And most people say, well, I'm not deserving. But it's very difficult for somebody to say, I don't think I'm lovable. Very difficult for people to say that. It's not talked about because people think, oh, that can't be. But it's rampant in this society. And when you really think about it, all addictions and all the things that we put little labels on is simply because people do not believe that they're lovable enough. And they mask it with something else. So sit and be very honest with yourself and say, geez, you know, and then start to fix that yourself. You're the one who has to start loving yourself. You know, everyone's out there running, thinking, oh, if somebody loved me like Charlie Brown, my life would be wonderful. And how many people here have been in relationships? And you're no longer in those relationships because they didn't do what they were supposed to do for you. You have to do it yourself. And I'm not putting down relationships. My God, I think they're wonderful. I think everyone should have a relationship. But it has to be a healthy relationship. And the only healthy relationships are the ones where the two individuals each know that they love themselves and that they would continue to love themselves if the other person wasn't there. You see. It's always going to happen inside of you, what you're thinking about yourself. Those are black holes that people like to fill up, and they think somebody else is going to fill up the black hole. Well, if you have a black hole, I can assure you that you're going to attract somebody with a black hole. So you better fill your own black hole first so that you attract the right and perfect person to you. Okay? Questions?
I have another one.
Yeah.
You oftentimes say God doesn't ask that you do more. God asks that you believe more.
Yes.
Is there an exercise or something that you could think of that would actually help us believe more or believe greater or however it's phrased? I don't remember the exact quote.
Yes. Okay, let's see. God never asks you to do more. God asks you to believe more. Believe in yourself. Believe in this thing that we call God. Believe in a cosmic power. Believe that you're always being taken care of. Then you have to start seeing that, because we discount things in our life. Rhoda is a terrific example. Tell them the story about your car that you wanted to sell.
I don't drive. I haven't driven for 20 years, and so when my husband died, I didn't need the car. So my son took it out to Northridge because I'm alone and I didn't want anyone coming to the house. And he called and he said that someone who was drunk went into the car. And then I thought, well, God is taking care of it, so that I don't have to do anything. And then the next time he called, he said they didn't think it was total. And I said to myself, but that would be the only reason that God would have anybody go into it. Well, anyway, it was total when they looked at it another time. First they said that now there is no longer just one frame. There's several frames, so if the frame gets bent, they can fix it. But whoever went into it did such a good job that it was totally total. And so it had like 32,000 miles. It was a Toyota Camry. It was 5 years old. And so not only did I get higher than Blue Book value for it, because they go by Blue Book and they also go by the last two sales that were made in my area for that car. I got back sales tax, and I got back my registration, which was due in a week. So I ended up with over $15,000. And I was ashamed to even say it was worth
$12,000.
No, nobody came for it. Nobody asked.
So that's how you build your faith. That's how you build your belief. When those things happen, then you don't discount it and say, oh, well, that would have happened anyway. You have to say, oh, thank you. Now I see that I'm always being taken care of, even though that it looked like, oh, this is a disaster. It's not a disaster. We have to build our faith daily. We build our faith. Remember, the name of this class is Prosperity and Abundance Including Money. Well, then you have to see prosperity and abundance and money all around you. That's why when I see all the cars, I say, oh, isn't that wonderful? Look how prosperous and abundant everyone is. I don't say, oh, we're in a traffic jam. Look at all these damn cars out here on the highway. We need less cars in Los Angeles, which everyone else does. I say, bring on more cars, because that's more prosperity and abundance. And you see it in a different way. That's building faith. You have to build your faith. It's all there is to it. And you can. And when you build it, then you start to see more. And the more your faith builds, the more your belief system builds, again, the more things drop into your life. And you say, oh, isn't this fantastic? And you just say, thank you very much. Thank you very much. And it just happens. It just happens. You have to know that you're being taken care of. Excuse me. And being taken care of more than your parents perhaps took care of you. Some parents didn't do such a good job. Some parents did a good job. But this taking care of is a completely different thing than that. But we tell these stories to ourselves about what happened to us when we were children. And then we think, well, since our parents treated us that way, this thing we call God is going to treat us that way. And that is not true. That is not true. This thing that we call God is always for you, always wants to give you everything, is always prepared to give you everything. It is our job to prepare ourselves to receive, and we don't prepare ourselves to receive. When after Aunt Catherine made her transition, Aunt Catherine had beautiful clothing. And I said, who can wear this? I don't want them just going to anybody. So my brother's wife, my sister-in-law, I had her come up and try them on. Well, after a while, she said, oh, I can't take any more. Oh, I couldn't do. Oh, this is too much. Are you sure? Are you sure? I said, absolutely. She was overwhelmed because so many things fit her. She didn't think she could accept them all. We have to know you can accept them all. And say more, please. You see, we have to know that we can do that. This universe is abundant. You cannot take more. You see, you can take it all. You can take all this. You will not deplete it. People are afraid they'll deplete it. Oh, but most people think that, oh, well, I'm only worthy of this much. You're the one that's doing that. You have to say, oh, no, I'm worth much more than that. You say, and know what you're worth in life. Know what you're worth in life.
So this is why, having had the same desire since I was 6 years old, I'll get close and then it'll back away. I'll get close and I'll back away. And I feel like the dog and the cart, the hot dog on a string in front of me. I get a little bite of the dog, but I keep dragging this cart around, and I guess I'm the guy holding the stick with the string too, right?
You're not only that, you're also the dog.
That's my first thing I said, I'm the dog.
We do this to ourselves. You see, since 6 he's wanted something, but he will not give it to himself. And he's going to, his mind used to tell him, but still doesn't, all kinds of excuses of why he wasn't. Oh, I had to go home to my parents. Oh, I had to take that job because of this. Oh, I had to do this because of that. No, you didn't. These were choices that you made. If you had a desire since 6 years old, now it's time for it to happen, you see. So allow yourself to have it. Know that you're worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that you matter, and keep working on those things. And say, this is the end of this story. I'm no longer chasing the dog, you see. Or you're just going to chase the dog the rest of your life. You have to end the story. But that's a good one, and you love that, and you know how to do that one. Well, now learn how to do something else. What won't happen, you see. Because your mind has all that worked out, and you have all that worked out that, oh, I only get this far, and I only taste a little bit, and then it all disappears. all goes away. See? Won't all go away.
Because when I get to the point of receiving it, I'm not willing to receive it.
Yes. Something's holding you back. So work on that. What is holding you back? You know, you have to know that you have the talent to do it. Otherwise, you wouldn't have the desire to do it. So if your mind's telling you, oh, I can't do it, I'm not, you have to bypass that and tell that to shut up. You see? And go back and tell yourself, sit yourself down and say, listen, I know how to do this.
Because that other thing is an evaluation based on external comparisons and judgments. And
well, absolutely, because you wouldn't want somebody to think you didn't have a dime in your pocket, so you take a job. Mm-hmm. You're not your job. You're not your job. Your job can't do anything for you. And if you can make, weren't you making like $50 an hour at one time?
Right. And a potential for $80 an hour.
And a potential for more than 80, but for 80, yes.
Right. But doing something I didn't particularly care to do.
Yes, so, yeah. But the point is, if you can make $50 doing something that you don't like to do, think how much money you can make doing something that you want to do. But the outside world tells you if you like something, you're not going to get paid for it. But boy, don't like it, and they'll pay you a lot for it. Is that not dumb?
Now we're getting to the point. Okay.
Yeah. See? It's dumb. You're not dumb. Well, maybe I don't
know. In relation to the last two questions, there's something that's coming up in life for me and some other friends of creating possibilities of bigger beliefs and creating beliefs of bigger possibilities.
Yes. Yeah, then we have to do that. If we're going to advance in civilization, we have to do that. We have to know that there's a different way and there's a wonderful possibility out there. And that possibility includes a world with peace. How many people believe that the world can be peaceful? Yes. But a lot of people say no, because it's always been that way. It's always been that way. So they take the possibility right out of it. And they can come up with 100 different reasons why it won't work. With the situation we're in now, talk to talk to an Iranian, and they will tell you, well, they've been fighting for 2,000 years. The Shiites and the Sunnis never have gotten along. So therefore, they're not going to ever get along. Where's the possibility? You have to know that there's a possibility. That's all we're living in, you know, is possibility. When we talk about this thing called God, God is nothing but possibility. That's what God is possibility. God's not an old man in the sky somewhere. God is pure possibility. That's all. So think about those things. We're the ones that are doing this, and we're doing this with our minds. When I was back in Pennsylvania, and I said they didn't know metaphysics because they let everything on the outside of life control them. Remember Emmett Fox, the mental equivalent, said, if you're going to teach a child anything, teach them that we live in a mental world. And we must remember that every day. We must remember that we live in a mental world. When I get up in the morning, I say to myself, I can control my thinking. I am the one that's doing it. And learn to control your thinking. Don't allow it to become automatic. People jump right up in the morning and they let their mind say, oh, it's going to be a hard day at work, it's going to be this, it's going to be that, da 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 da. And they think that they're thinking. That's not thinking. You're just allowing your mind to run your life. You have to know who is running my life. Who is running my life? Or whose life am I living? Most people are not living their own lives. They're living the lives that somebody else handed to them. They're living the lives, you probably, maybe your parents didn't want you to be in show business. They wanted you to make all this money in the money thing. So, whose life are you living? Yours or theirs? You see? You always have to say that to yourself. Am I living my life? You cannot sit down and say to yourself, I'm an individualized expression of God, and then live somebody else's life. Most people don't do that. Realize. I'll talk a minute about my sister-in-law, a wonderful person that she is, but she has no idea she's living her mother. She's living her mother's life. She's just a repeat of her mother. And she thinks she's living. Oh, yes. So many people. You have to be who you are. Yes, those people influence us. Yes, they gave us different things. Yes, because of genetics, we may look like them and all. But we're still much more than any of those things. That's what you have to realize. When you want to build faith, when you want to build any of these things, you have to realize that you're more than what you see. If you look in the mirror and you see this body and say to yourself, oh, gorgeous body, you have to know that I'm even more than my gorgeous body. That I am more than all of this. That I am more than that story that you keep telling yourself. That you're more, you see. And that you can forgive yourself. And there, say, ah, there's a wonderful possibility that I can learn to forgive myself. And then live in that possibility. But we don't live in the possibilities. We live in what we think. Going on. Learn to live in your possibility. Remember, fake it till you make it. It's living in that possibility. How will you feel when you get your sitcom? How will you look when you get your sitcom? Who will you be with when you're with your sitcom? Then you go out and you start doing that now. And then the sitcom comes. You see? We use the expression in religious science, treat and move your feet. The Bible says God helps those who help themselves. We have to do something. We're the ones that are doing it. We are creating our own lives. And we can create our own lives any way we want to. Any way we want to. So if you don't like the life you're living, change it. And you change it by changing your thinking and by changing your habits so that you're not always running after that same dog. You see? You know? That dog, how old is that dog by now? Dogs don't live that long. Yeah. Yeah, dogs don't live that long. Say, oops, my
dog.
Right. So, well, whatever. It's done. If anything would be the most important thing in your life to know, it would be that you live in a mental world and that you have choice, that you can choose the way you want to think. And it's not done by stimuli on the outside of life. It's always done on the inside of life. So, if somebody hits you in the face, it may hurt. And you can say, I hate that person and I will never forgive that person. Or you can say immediately, I forgive that person and I'm never going around that person again. And move on with your life. If you hold the grudge, if you do not forgive, that person goes on about their business. Now you are the one that has put yourself in prison because you're holding that. And you run into that person 30 years from now and that you say to that person, I have never forgiven you for what you did to me, and the person said, I have no idea what you're talking about. Because he never thought about it in those 30 years. He went on and had a wonderful life while you were sitting there agonizing. Do not do it to yourself. Mental world, choice. Learn those things and learn that you can control your thinking. It's always your thinking that is causing everything. Always your thinking. You can, your mind will tell you that it's everything else. That it's the economy, that it's your husband, that it's your boyfriend, that it's the traffic, that it's the job. But it's not. It's the what you're thinking about them that's causing all the problems. So learn to think correctly. Learn to see yourself as wonderful, wonderful, wonderful people. And know that you're completely connected to this thing that we call God. That all you are is God. But you are not all that God is. And it's wonderful. And so are you, and so am I, and there ends the lesson. Thank you.